were talking last week about the Christian walk. It was about basically going the extra mile, if you remember. And when we about this lady who had a burglar, and she went the extra mile by blessing the burglar, because she cooked him a meal and gave him the keys to the house, and he was so ashamed of himself that he repented and turned to Christ. And this was, there were a few examples of going the extra mile, which is what God wants us to do as kingdom people. And it's not always easy, and it's not an automatic thing, but it's God working in us and showing us the right from the wrong. I just wanted to go a little bit further tonight on the walk, the Christian walk, not so much as conduct and behaviour, but as how we progress in the Christian life, because walking is also about making progress. And and thinking about that, it takes us to the 10 virgins in Matthew 25.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Thanks, Helen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's life and light to us. And I pray this evening, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal to us those things that are important, those things you want to say to us, and that we shall retain those things, and that it will become lifestyle for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but whenever I've heard preached about the 10 virgins, and it's not too many times I've heard it being preached, but when you read commentaries on it, I always thought that this was 5 saved and 5 the saved and the unsaved. I don't know where your thoughts lie on that. Had you ever interpreted?
Well, I thought oil was supposed to be the Holy Spirit, so I thought they were all saved, but some, I don't know. Some maybe were just far on as the others, I don't know.
Some were nominal Christians and others were not.
Because I was looking in one of the commentaries, and he was saying that the 5 virgins who didn't make it with the bridegroom were the unsaved, and Christ didn't know them. And I'd always, I think, in the back of my mind thought that too, but as I've been studying it, it's not that at all, because they were all virgins. They all belonged to Christ, every one of them. And so the meaning of the virgin here is someone who is totally faithful to God. And so the foolish were faithful to God, as were the wise. So what happened? Well, we see that the 5 wise, they were virgins whose lamps were full of oil, and oil represents the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it would suggest to us that they were constantly, the Word of God says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-off Pentecostal experience. It's a daily experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, staying full of God. Mm-hmm. And that's where God wants us to be. And in you know, it's turned to this, but Ephesians 3 and verse 19 says that they were filled with all the fullness of God. And that's where God wants us. These are the wise virgins. They had enough oil, they had enough anointing to stick with it even to midnight. Does anybody know when you're standing for something, it's often midnight before it turns up? Yeah? Anybody else's experience? You've got to have enough oil in your lamp to stick the course until midnight, because quite often when you think it's all up and it should be done by now, there's nothing more that you can do, you've reached midnight. But it hasn't happened. But God said it would happen. It must happen. And you've got to have some real oil in your lamp. The Holy Spirit has to empower you in those situations to stand and to know that you know that you know, although it's 5 minutes to midnight and it has to happen in the next 5 minutes, and it hasn't, God will come through for you. It's trusting God to that degree. And that's what these wise virgins were able to do. Why? Because they were filled and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were full of God. They weren't nominal Christians. They weren't Sunday Christians. They were filled with the fullness of God. They were strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in their own might. The five foolish, on the other hand, it says there were foolish virgins, but there weren't false virgins. There were true virgins. And they loved God, but I think they'd allowed other things to get in the way of the progress. Instead of pursuing God, they were pursuing other things. God was not first in their life. He came down the pecking order. And as a result, they lived a hand-to-mouth experience. When something went wrong, they were grasping for a promise box. What does this promise say? And yes, sometimes God will give you a word that way, and sometimes you can hang on to it like that, but that's not the same as having deep resources deep within, that you just know that you know that you know, and that you are familiar with the word of God and the way that he works, and you know, you can discern, this is just the devil trying to wobble me. And I don't need to be moved by what I see or what I don't see. I need to stand firm. But a hand-to-mouth Christian and those who don't know God in this deep sense will never be able to dig deep and stand in those difficult times. When a crisis comes, they don't have enough oil to maintain the lamps and the lamp goes out. They tend to procrastinate. They tend to put off. Whereas God says, redeem the time. In other words, get on with it. Do what I want you to do. It's not for my good, it's for your good, that you may be a strong and healthy Christian and overcome all obstacles that the devil is going to throw at you. And they were weak and they were immature Christians. And that's not what God's called us to be. It's at midnight, quite often Paul and Silas at midnight were singing songs, weren't they? I think of midnight as being the crisis hour. And what were Paul and Silas? They were full of the power of God, weren't they? They were full of the anointing. And so what was their response?
Praising and worshipping God.
Singing songs at midnight when they were in the deepest dungeon with the rats and all the filth. And it was pitch black and they were in chains and they must have been beaten and they must have been really hurting and sore. And at their midnight hour, when it seemed the darkest, Paul said to him, to Silas, come on, Silas, let's praise God. Let's sing. praise is a wonderful tool for bringing victory. Yeah, it's a weapon of our warfare. And they use that tool to bring them out.
Well, it scares the Satan off, doesn't it?
Yeah, they don't want to
hear
God's
praise.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, no wonder we've got to, makes me want to praise and shout even more.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
Go away, Satan.
Yeah, you do. And it builds you up and it puts him to flight.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword, really. When you can praise God like that, you know you're trusting him.
Yeah.
And he knows you're trusting him. He knows that you're anchored and you're not moved because you can praise him. It's interesting that at midnight, 12 is the number of divine government, and that's when the bridegroom came. And I thought, that's interesting, because we are going to rule and reign with him. And they were going into the marriage feast with the bridegroom. So what were they going to be doing? They were going to be ruling and reigning with him. And that's where God has called his saints to be ruling and reigning. But we're never ready for divine government if we're only nominal Christians. If we're not rooted and grounded in God, we're not going to attain. We will do eventually. But when he comes, are we going to be ready to rule with him and to reign with him? That's what he wants. The foolish said, give us of your oil. And the wise virgin said, no, no way, lest there not be enough for ourselves. And that spoke to me of, you've got to be prepared. They said, go and buy for yourselves fresh oil. And that spoke to me of, you can't get somebody else's experience. It's not something that's given away. Helen can't give to me what her experience has taught her. I have to go through it. I have to pay the price. I have to buy my own oil. You know, there's no short... Jerry Savillo was used to say, didn't he? There's no shortcuts to victory. And there isn't. You've got to go through it. We all know about Jonah. We often hear the saying, he paid the fare, but he wasn't prepared to pay the price. And I think that speaks very much of the foolish virgins. They were not prepared to pay the price to be what God wanted them to be ready in time for the bridegroom and to make themselves ready as the bride. So they came to the door, they went and got oil, they came back, they knocked on the door because it was closed, and they shouted, Lord, Lord, open to us. And his reply was, I know you not. And yet these were virgins, they were espoused to him. And they'd come to the door of heaven. So the only way you can come to the door of heaven is if you are one of the virgins. Because the door of salvation is for the saved and unsaved. But the door of heaven is only for those who have come through the salvation experience. And so they were saved. They were virgins. They were still espoused to Christ. But he said to them, I know you not. And I think God was saying there, I know you. This personal knowing you. This
intimate
knowledge of you. This it says in the Amplified, I am not acquainted with you. But I think it's more a deeper sense there. But nevertheless, I was reading a little story in Watchman's Nee's book, and this sort of explains it. He was saying in Shanghai, there was a son of a police court magistrate, and he was presiding over the court that day, when his son came in and he was up for careless driving. Now, I don't think this could happen in England because I think it would be conflict of interest. I don't think it could judge him. But obviously the rules in Shanghai at that time were that the father could still preside as the police court magistrate. His son came before him and he said to his son very sternly, what's your name? What is your address and what is your occupation? And his son said to him, Father, you know that. You know who I am. and his father rapped on the table and he said very sternly to him, I do not know you. And in that situation, he could not be partial to his son. He was still his son, but he couldn't know him in that situation. He had to follow court procedure, and the son had to pay the penalty for the crime. And so he had to preside as judge, and in that sense, he didn't know him. He had to say for himself who he was, what his address was, and what his occupation was. He had to stand for himself. Revelation 14.
Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless.
Thank you, Bill. Verse 4 says, these are they who have not defiled themselves by relations with women, for they are virgins. These are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are they who have been ransomed, redeemed from among men as the first fruits for God and the Lamb. First fruits. Our plum tree, which has not been very good to us this year, when it has a bumper year, we'll get a crop, and early you'll get quite a lot of plums that will ripen early, but the bulk of them ripen later. But the first ones that come and that are ripe, they are sweet, they are beautiful, they're gorgeous. There's not always a lot, but they're really, really nice. And these are the first fruits. And that's what John is referring to here in Revelation. These are the first fruits who were ransomed from among men. In other words, these are those who had done well, had ripened at an earlier time. They'd ripened than the rest of the fruit. And so these were the prized first fruits. And but what is good, and these here are referred to as the virgins, but what is really wonderful is that although they were the first fruits, the whole crop ripens, maybe at a later time, but God never loses any of his fruit, any of his sheep. And it says, let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says in the Amplified, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. God is going to complete the work that he has started in you.
Amen.
How early you ripen depends on your progress and your response.
Yeah, it does.
But however long it takes, he is faithful who called you, and he will do it. And some of us are going to go at a slower pace than others, but we will all get there. I like Jude, and I'd love to read it out of the Amplified again. It's verse 24. Now to him who is able pure, without stumbling or slipping or fallen, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory with unspeakable, ecstatic delight in triumphant joy and exultation. I think that's good. God has he's got ecstatic delight at preparing you and presenting you faultless before the Father. He will not let go of you. He will work and work and work on you until you get to that point. You may have to go around the mountain a few times. You may stumble and fall. But he will bring you to that place where you will not stumble, you will not fall, you will be rooted and grounded securely in his love, knowing the length, depth, breadth and height of that love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And this is why I am suffering as I do. Still, I am not ashamed, for I know of whom I have believed, and I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. Beautiful. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. You can tell him he will keep everything that you have committed to him until that great day. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him it's a bit long-winded, this one, but it's worth the wait. Now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above and over all that we dare ask or think, is infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, hopes or dreams. God's able to do super abundantly above your highest hopes, thoughts, dreams. That's just beyond our comprehension, isn't it? But he is going to do it. I can't remember where. I think it's in Luke, this verse, but I didn't have time to look it up tonight. And it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And I always remember GC saying that word saved, it means enters the Zoe life of God. And the Zoe life is the spiritual life, the eternal life of God. And so he who endures to the end, there's no question, you will, if you stay with it, God will bring you through as to the Zoe life of God. God will perfect every man who has faith. Nobody will be half saved. He will complete the work that he has begun in you. And I thank God for that. And Watchman Nee said, God wants us to be like pens that are full of ink. As soon as you pick them up, they're instantly ready for use. And that's where we need to be, isn't it? Just instantly ready, listening, tuned in, going for all that God has got for us. And the last one is Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Paul said, I choose to press on to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He wasn't going to be a foolish virgin. He was going to be a wise virgin. He was going to be rooted and grounded. He was going to have the depth of the Spirit within him, all the resources that Christ provides for us, so that he would continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit and therefore being an overcomer in all situations. And we get back to the famous verse that we've always finished with. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We cannot fail if we make that a principle for living, seeking first then we'll be wise virgins, and when the bridegroom comes, we'll be ready to rule and reign with him, because that's where he's placed us, with him in heavenly places. So thank God, there's hope for all of us, and I'd like to be ready at the first time and not have to go through around that mountain a few times. But if that happens, we shall still get there, because it's God who's at work in us to perfect us. Praise God. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts or is anything they want to share there.
He can only be there for us. He's there for us, and we've got to seek him.
We have.
We've got to seek him through there, through the reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's how you build your relationship up.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
It's happened with me. That's what I've been doing, like what you and Andrew said in church. What you said is exactly right.
Yeah.
You study the Word. I've listened to all recorders again and again about the Bible, how you've said, and you build it up, and it's true.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes you to stand.
What you've said is that truth.
Mm. Mm.
And that's how you build your relationship and your love for him.
Yeah, you do.
And I know that.
Natural strength comes by natural food. Spiritual strength comes from spiritual food. There's no other way, is there?
It certainly fed me. I just love it. I'm learning.
That Matthew 25. in my Bible that I've got here with me tonight, it breaks it up into three topics.
Oh, wow.
First topic is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, which Grace has talked about. And they're all, as Grace said, they're all being invited into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And they've all been invited and given a place.
Mm-hmm.
But at that same time, each and every one of us has a responsibility to keep our place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to be ready to fulfill our place.
Mm-hmm.
As and when that place is made available to us to walk into.
Yeah.
The second part of that, Matthew 25, starts in verse 14, and it's the parable of the talents. And we've spoken about the parable of the talents. One man received one talent, one man received two, one received five. And they were all being given talents from the master, and this parable is lined up as if it is Jesus or God giving to his stewards. These people were in the kingdom, responsibilities, gifts, talents, whatever you want to call them, to take care of them whilst he's gone.
Mm.
And whilst he's gone, to use these talents and cause things to multiply, to increase. And we know that two of them did, one of them didn't. And to the one that didn't, he said, take it off him and cast him into outer darkness and hand him over to the tormentors.
Mm.
Mm.
But they were all in the kingdom initially. The virgins were all in the kingdom initially. They were all invited to the kingdom's wedding feast. But not all of them entered in.
Did he have wedding dressing, did he?
And, well, that's another parable, isn't it?
Yeah,
where,
yeah,
no, you know, everybody's given a wedding garment. Yeah, everybody's given a wedding garment. And that's another parable from another part of the scripture where he turns up and he hasn't got the wedding garment on. He says, where's your wedding garment?
Well,
didn't need to bother. Well, it's important, you see. We do need to bother.
Mm.
And he was thrown out, you see. So, and then the third one starts in Matthew 31 when it says the Son of Man will judge the nations, and that one is where he begins to say to the people, for I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty, this is in verse 35, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say, insomuch as you did it to the one of the least of these of my brethren, you did it to me.
Mm.
It's being filled, as Gray said, with the Holy Spirit, being filled with God, and doing the thing, doing the right things of God in accordance to the word, in accordance to kingdom principles, the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Not the kingdoms of this world,
no,
but the kingdom of God. And the thing is, as we've said, how do we be filled? How do we know what to do? How do we stay in relationship with God? How do we keep our relationship strong? There is only one answer. There is only one way. And that is spending time in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You get to know Jesus, you get to know God by spending time in the Word, because the Word is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It tells about God. It tells about the mysteries of God. And so the only way that you and I will get to know about our future, about our destiny, and about our Heavenly Father is when we spend time reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
And then we begin to live this book. You see, Jesus is within us, and he wants to live this book through us. And in living it through us, then the kingdom of God is being sent out throughout all the world. And so for you and for me, for each and every one of us, if we're going to see at the end, and I know people will disagree with me on this, and that's fine, that's up to them, but for me, I believe that we need to know the Lord Jesus on a daily basis. We need to be walking with him on a daily basis. Christianity is not for Wednesday nights and Sunday.
No way.
It's 24/7.
It is.
It's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And when it comes to a leap year, there isn't that day off neither, is there? It's 366. There's not a day off. You see, you don't go on holiday and say, well, I'm going on holiday, so I'm having time off from church. I'm having time off from God. Did God go on holiday away from you and leave you stranded?
Well, he never leaves us, does he?
No, that's right. The word says, he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So when people turn around and say, oh, I'm having time off from church because I need a break. I'll tell you this last few weeks being away from church because I've had to be, because of the operation now, actually, it hadn't done me any good spiritually. Right?
No.
Being away does not do me any good.
No.
Don't
any of us.
No.
When we go away to places and there's no good, decent church in that, don't do us any good, you
no.
know.
No.
We need the coals.
When we get back, we're like, oh, come on, just let me get home, let me get into life.
Mm.
See, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
And that's,
word,
you see,
without spending time with him, you feel weak.
You do. And the virgins, the foolish ones, or the ones who were, oh, we don't need to do it every day. We don't need to be there all the time. We can just take a bit of time off, and we can live Christianity part time.
We can do it through telly.
Well, they're talking out the
fashion. Well, that's true. I mean, these days, yeah, I can do it through the television at home. Can you? I remember somebody telling me that. Years ago, this is when it early started, in its early days, I thought, that's a curse. Because if people think, that's not fellowship. You see, fellowship's rubbing against somebody. And, you know, rubbing the rough parts off each other and being joined together, and that anointing flows between you. See, on a TV, there isn't that connection of
interaction
in any way. There's one interaction, and you control it. And it's the remote. And if you don't like what he says, you can change channels or turn them off altogether, right? Well, the thing is, when we're here as individuals, you can't turn us off, can you?
No.
You see, we have to go through these things together.
Bill's trying.
There is no remote on me. There ain't a button. You know? We have to go through these things together, you see, because that's family.
Yeah.
That's kingdom principles, you see, of going through these things together.
You get strength from each other, don't you?
That's what happens. You gain strength, you gain understanding, and we're able to share the wisdom that God has given to us at the same time. But it all boils down to one thing, Jesus and the Word.
Yeah.
And you can't live without Him.
No.
And without that, we've failed. And the parable of the talents, this is so important that we live our Christian life every day. Not part-time Christians. We live it every day. We act it every day. And if you don't eat every day, you'll start to feel something. And that is, you'll start to lose strength. And if you don't drink every day, you'll start to notice you lose the ability of understanding. And you become weak, limp, and you're actually then vulnerable to other things, sickness, disease, and everything else. Well, same way spiritually, if we don't eat and breathe the Word of God, we are spiritually vulnerable to other things of the Spirit.
You get dehydrated, you get confused, don't you?
Well, there are a lot of quotes, virgin Christians who are dehydrated from the Word of God, and they are confused.
Yeah.
Well, I know I haven't liked being away from church, but I think all the love you've all given me has carried me through.
Amen. Oh, but that's so the family, and I'm not having a go at you. You know that.
I know, Andrew. But
that's the love of the family, and that's what the family's there for. Yeah. Because
we've built up a relationship,
exactly,
and then you build that with God as well.
Absolutely.
So we all a family with God as.
Yeah. But at times we do need to carry one another, as it says here in that third portion of Matthew 25 and 26. You know, when he says to him, "When did we do this for you, Lord? When did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we give you something to drink?" And we may not be talking about physical drink, but the drink of the Spirit.
Mm.
The encouragement that is needed, right? To encourage. When did we do it? As when you did it unto your sister, your brother, somebody else. That's when you were doing it to me. You see? And so the Christian life is not just coming to church, sitting in a pew, getting your bookmark, getting your card stamped, and then going home and saying, "Well, I've been to church twice this week, so I've done ever so well, haven't I?" No, you haven't done at all well. It's not just going to church, it's, did you meet with Him? Did you meet with God?
Did you go to church and not meet with Him?
Absolutely, you
can. Does He know you?
Exactly.
Does He know you, and do you know Him? Is the real question. That's what it's about. In the end, when you stand before God, and when I stand before God, I'm not going to turn around and say, "Well, Lord, John will tell you."
He'll know.
And God's going to turn around and say,
I'm not asking John.
It's nothing to do with John. It's between you and me.
Yeah.
Between you and me. And the question is, Andrew, what did you do with Jesus? And it's not just about saying, "Become Lord of my life," and then saying, "That's it." No, that is the beginning.
Just there.
That is only the start. You just got your foot through the doorway. You've not even got into the kingdom yet. You're only on the threshold. And I know David says, "Oh, better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wicked," which is true. But hey, let's get right inside. Let's get into the Holy of Holies. Let's get to where God is. Where the very presence of God, where that peace, that stillness and that power and that anointing right in the presence. Let's get to that. That's what God is calling us to. The inner sanctuary, the inner place where the secrets are whispered,
You can do it in your own home.
And you can, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Where we can get into the inner sanctuary with the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God, who is the lover of our souls.
Because it says that intimacy is like a man and wife, isn't it? He wants us to be that close.
He wants us to know him in such a way that we, you know your wife, you know your husband. There's such a closeness.
Be as one.
To, thank you, that's it. Good. To be as one, you see. Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing. He did what the Father was doing. He did what the Father was wanting to be done. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. What Jesus wants you to be able to say, I and the Father are one.
Well, I know we are, as in my
heart.
That's
right, yeah. Mm. And this is what we need to, this is what we need to maintain. This oneness with God. You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Because let me tell you this, the world and the kingdom are moving in opposite directions.
Yeah.
And you can only do the splits to a certain level. And then after that...
It hurts. She knows.
It gets painful. And then one has to make a decision which side
Let
one is going
line.
To jump. Where are you going to fall? Are you going to fall the world's side? Or are you going to fall the kingdom of God's
kingdom
side?
Kingdom of God.
And I'll tell you, the safest place, the most exciting place
yes.
to live, is to live in the kingdom.
Amen.
And to know the power
yeah.
of God,
praise God,
moving in your life. That's the greatest place to live. Oh, short term, people think, oh, it's great, you know, living the way the world lives. Is it? It's costly.
Mm.
Not just in money terms, but it's costly in eternal terms.
Mm-hmm.
Who will you serve? Choose this day.
Mm-hmm. Ask for me
and
my house.
Ask for me and my house, Joshua said.
We
will serve the Lord. We made our decision. He says, he said, I'm not doing the splits anymore. He said, both feet are in the kingdom.
And passing it on when you can.
That's it.
You see, that
see,
passing it on becomes a lifestyle because you are who he is.
Yeah.
And God wants to reach people. And this is where in Matthew 31, the story starts there about, you know, reaching out to others and sharing the word. In verse 32 there, it says, all the nations will be gathered before him, that is God, and he will separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. My sheep, he says, hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Goats are a different creature.
Mm-hmm.
Goats were often used in a different line and format. They were always the awkward ones and
butting
and you know, sheep were just sort of sheep are just stubborn and stupid at times, and you know. But you see, they have to be separated. They're different beings, and in this sense, you know, God is separating the other is the wheat and the chaff. Both have to coexist together for a while. The wheat and the chaff. The chaff protects. The chaff is around the wheat. There comes a point when there has to be separated because you don't want to eat chaff. There's nothing worthwhile in chaff.
Mm-mm.
For you.
Brad.
You just need the wheat. And so there has to be that separated. And so the wind of the Spirit blows across. You see, I remember when we went to... I think it was Turkey. Yeah, we went to Turkey. It was the first time that I saw it. They were winnowing the wheat, and they were with their sticks, these fork-like implements, and they were going through the piles of wheat, and they were tossing it in the air, and the wind was blowing, and you could see the chaff was being blown away,
mm-hmm.
and all they were left with was that which was good.
Substance.
That which hath substance. That which will count and is worthy.
And has a use. Has a use.
And has a use. The chaff has no use. It's left to be blown away in the wind.
To be burnt.
And today the world will be blown away in the wind. It'll just be blown away. Everything that the world does, everything that the world comes up with, it'll just be blown away in the wind. When God's fire, a judgment comes upon it and says, you know, what have you got? What have you, you know, and whatever we bring, and God, will it be burned up in the fire?
It's gold.
Or will it come out as refined gold, pure gold, because of what we've done?
Yeah.
And it's about relationship with the Lord. And for me, that it will be good for you to read Matthew 25 right through to the end, because there are three different areas in there: virgins, the parable of the talents, the Son of Man will judge the nations. There it is together, and it is a constant declaration that has been given through Jesus, through the recorded words of Matthew, written words of Matthew, of what Jesus said and did. And he's just pulling them together. And this is what Jesus said. He didn't say it once. He said it more than once. There is an importance. You see, in the times of Jesus, they were the scribes and the Pharisees.
Pharisees.
Try that one again, shall we? Which teeth do we have? Have I got yours or Pharisees? The scribes and the Pharisees.
And the Sadducees.
And then there were the Sadducees. And these people, they were competing against one another, and they had different doctrines, and they were laying legislation and laws on people, making them buy their way into the kingdom, making them work their way into the kingdom. It's not the way. The way into the kingdom is through love.
Amen.
We come through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, which was love for you and for me. And then through that love, we enter into the kingdom, and the kingdom of God, God is
love.
The kingdom is love.
Okay.
Kingdom is not works. The kingdom is not riches. The kingdom is love.
Mm.
The very essence and nature of God is love. So the kingdom is love. And so we flow and we move in the realm of love. And as we move in the realm of love, the world doesn't understand that. You're doing it because you want something. What do you want? And straight away they think it's money. And the world is run by a monetary system.
Mm.
I'll only do it for... And we're finding even in churches now, ministers are saying, well, give us some money and I'll pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Bible says, freely have you received,
freely give.
Freely give. Yeah. And we don't charge for prayers here, and we expect miracles to come.
Amen.
Amen. Every time. Mm-hmm. Praise his wonderful name.
I can't believe that I spent many years, I've got to say this, because that love what you're saying is one of the biggest, most important things in my life. What I learned, when I think I've lived all these years, 8 years ago I became born again, years ago, and I never, didn't realise God's love at all.
Or me at all.
And when you know it, it all comes together, the faith, forgiveness, fruits of the Spirit, all that, you understand it. And that when you feel God's love, you feel like you could walk on water.
Mm.
You said that before, you feel as if, you could do anything, you could go through anything.
Mm. Well, I find myself, if I'm trying to help people, and you see God's with me all the time, so I say, do you believe in God? And then I start my preaching, you say, telling them what to do.
But you want the best for them, Ivy.
You know what I mean?
And the best
and you
God.
Do, and you find you're really going on and on. Yeah, yes. And because it's with you, you can't help it.
And you see, when you're helping somebody, they're not going to turn around and refuse to listen to what you've got to say, because, you'll take my help, but you won't listen to the words of life.
And the thing is, you'll help that person, and then you don't. I mean, you might not get a nice response back.
No.
And it doesn't. It don't really bother you, does it? It doesn't affect you because you think, well I'm living this. You have to take it or you leave. You know, you want them to take.
They're not rejecting you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And God's give us that strength. Jesus, give us that strength, and that is. Oh, it's just I won't want anything else.
You just have to let the love of God flow. And watch God work, and you will see things change. And let's not be foolish, but let's be the wise ones, continually keeping our vessel fully topped up with the oil of the Spirit, with the Word of God. And as we do that, we shall see lives change.
I can feel the love pouring into me, love and contentment pouring into me at the minute.
Yeah.
And that's what you see,
because it's powerful here, Pat. Now.
We encourage people to come together. Why? Well, for many reasons.
Mm.
We like to see you, is number one.
Mm.
Number two is we want to see you grow spiritually.
Mm.
And you can all, it's when we come together, it's a bit like having fruit trees. And you need more. You need another one to pollinate the other one for cross pollination.
Yeah,
and fruit. You know, there's cross pollination going on here.
Yeah, there is.
There's a branch hanging over here, and you know the pollen dripping onto this pollen here, and there's some cross pollination. It's not dandruff, Bill. You're all right. And there's this, and this brings fruit.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
Cross pollination brings fruit. And that's like the love of God is just causing this to happen and to work. And so it is important. So when we come together, that we're being cross-pollinated, we're given the freedom to share what God has given to us during the week, because we're bringing our anointing, the anointing oil that God has given us through the week. We're just bringing it into the church, and we're sharing this, and the presence of God will rise. As they brought the oil into the tabernacle to light the lamp, each tribe every month had to do it for 1 month to bring that oil, so the lamp would always be lit. The lamp was symbolic of the presence of God.
So with the virgins, didn't it?
And with the virgins, their light is symbolic of the presence of God. The others, their light was going out. What does that tell you? They were losing the presence of God. They weren't spending time. And that's another thing. When we come together, we bring our oil, and we become charged, if you want. You've got a bit like a solar panel in us at times. In modern word language, isn't it? And we charge each other
by the sun,
S-O-N, the Son of God. We charge each other in the realm of the Spirit, and we go out empowered.
Yeah.
Well, how many times
by the Spirit?
Do you come here? Because it's the devil.
Feel
it's
tired.
Yeah.
When you go
Satan.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all said it. We've all walked in and we thought tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you feel like you can fly. You think, great. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Rejuvenated.
You know, I have to go home, and I have to sort of start to try and chill to come
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to come down.
Don't worry, pussy will bring you down.
Well, Lord, we were just winding up, so the Lord bless you.
Yeah. Great to see you, Edwin.
Great to see you, brother.
Lovely to see you, Edwin. I'm
glad
that I would have come this week,
sorry.
Then I changed my mind, and you wouldn't let me sleep. I've eaten two those nights.
Well, you know, his beloved shall have good sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
I noticed a little bit, so we'll be praying for you, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to eye clean tomorrow.
All right.
Well, say goodnight, good
every blessing.
Good night.
God is good to us, isn't he?
Yeah, he is good to us. Couldn't live without him.
But we can't do things in isolation, can we? That Revelation 14, it was a joint thing of the virgin sang a new song to the Lord. And Paul says, doesn't he, about bringing a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song and sing it to the Lord together. Everything we do is a togetherness as one.
Yeah.
And that's how we can, we grow strong. The devil can't pop you off as easily when you're together.
No. When you become isolated, then the enemy will attack.
It comes to separate.
That's right.
Does.
That's what a wolf does.
Yeah,
a wolf or a lion will come and it will seek to separate one from the flock.
Yeah.
It doesn't attack the flock,
just for the weakest.
It just looks for the weakest to separate it from the flock that it might take it down.
Mm.
Principle here with the five foolish virgins, they were the weaker ones.
Mm.
And they could be taken out.
Mm.
And they were. And so for you and me, the word is important. And it's important, and our fellowship together, our coming together, is important.
Mm, it is important.
And we don't say it for having numbers. We say it because of the importance of what it should do to you as an individual. The benefits that you reap from it should be far greater.
Mm. It does.
And that's the thing about it.
Mm.
There are people who attend church and they only attend a church and they receive nothing from it.
Mm.
Spiritually.
Joyce May did that for years. She went to church and she said she wishes somebody would have told her what she's telling us.
Mm. Yeah.
You must have heard it, Bella, say that lots of time, haven't you?
Last couple of days.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. But she's redeemed the time, hasn't she?
Yeah.
But you see, how many people have we told as well? And the...
Mm.
It's like in one ear, out the other.
Mm.
Or it's just total rebellion that says, I'm not prepared to do this. I want my time. Well, you can have your time. But where are you going to spend eternity with your time?
Mm.
Yeah.
And that is a big question.
Mm.
And you know, people sometimes think that by giving God his time that they're losing out. Well, let me tell you this, you're not. By giving God his time, you're actually gaining time.
Well, you're living with God, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not living in this world.
I mean, let's being honest now, in this place alone, there are people here who are giving time to God, and if they hadn't have done over the years, if they hadn't met Jesus along the way, they would not be alive today.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them. So your life has been extended. So you can afford to give God time because he's given you more time.
And there's another
one. Your life is probably in the same situation. My life. He's probably in the same situation, because if I hadn't met Jesus, I don't know where I would have been. My father used to make alcohol. I could have probably ended up being alcoholic. Something stupid like that. Would I still be alive by now? Very doubtful.
You've got another one here that wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
How many times what she said to me?
Another one there? Yeah.
Nothing to live for.
No.
But there is everything
to live for.
There is a kingdom to live for. There is an
eternity to live
for.
You don't know that, do you?
No.
Well, you've not been reborn and you're
no.
a learner. You don't know about all the gifts that God has for you, do you?
But that's the good news, isn't it, that we carry.
Do you know what one of the most important things is as well to come here is I know I can trust every one of you.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is so important. You can say anything to each other.
Definitely.
You know, it won't go any further.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't. You've got to. If you
recorded.
Need.
You're not put that bit on.
You know what I mean? It's lovely.
When we're talking personally about things that, then obviously.
Then you know you've got.
You
to
know
speak.
You can. That's right.
I know that I need to come to you or Grace or whatever if you've got something to say, and I know
it's confidentiality or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Confidentiality.
And at the same time, we pray. We pray for these things because we expect God to move. And it's great when that happens. Let me share a brief testimony. Some weeks back, I mentioned earlier on in the year, I'd had an email from one of our US suppliers, and they'd given me an address, an email address, an address and phone number of somebody. I'd rung the number, I'd sent an email, not got a response back at all. And then suddenly, 6 weeks ago, I had this response from this person. No, I was going to throw it in the bin. I'd had it nearly 6 months. I was about to throw it in the bin, and something said to me, ring the number. And it only rang once, and they picked it up. And then we've been in contact ever since, and turns out that this lady's husband has a motorcycle business, and his landlord, if you remember me telling you, was going to put his rates up massively, which is totally wrong the way things are going financially at the moment in the nations. And so they were in absolute panic. So I said, well, we would pray, and I know we prayed a couple of times in the church, and of course I've been missing for a few weeks, and I've just had an email today from the lady, and saying that the landlord hasn't done anything yet.
Praise God.
Nothing's changed.
Praise God.
You know, because to move the business is a financial cost and upheaval, for a start.
Big one.
It is a big one. Finding new premises and then re-establishing yourself where you are, etc., is a big cost. But there's been no increase. Nothing's happened. So praise God for
Amen.
That. And I said to them, be still, stand and watch the glory of God.
Amen.
And it sounds like God has made manifest himself amongst them. And so praise God for that.
Jesus.
So prayer changes things.
You don't realise sometimes what the power of prayer can do.
No, but it only works
if you believe as well.
If you're in relationship with your Heavenly Father.
Rebecca came in last week, didn't she? She couldn't sleep, she'd been full of cold. Tuesday, I think it was. And she got a snorter, hadn't she? So we said, well, come, we'll pray. So we prayed and rebuked the thing, and there was a powerful anointing in that lounge. I felt it shoot through me. Anyway, she went to bed, she got up next morning, she not got a cold at all.
And guess what? It was no charge, it was free, and there were no shouting and ranting and raving, because obviously from Rebecca's background, you know, they can but it was just that simple. Quiet prayer and just letting that Holy Spirit just flow. And you could feel the tangible presence of God flowing. It's like, let God do his work.
She was so excited next day. She said to me, Grace, I haven't got any cold at all. Because it lasts weeks. Last one she had last year just hung on and hung on and hung on. And it got her in a state of fear that that was going to happen again. And it didn't. And she was ecstatic.
But
yeah, God's interest. He cares about every little bit of us.
Absolutely. And so, but again, it's about this relationship that we have. If we're connected, you can have a battery for a car, and if one of the wires is not connected, the battery ain't no good, is it?
No.
You can have it. Well, I've got a battery. I've got my Bible. Have you connected with it lately? But I've got it.
You're holding it.
You have to connect with
it. You're not reading it.
You've got to open it up.
It's charged up.
And you've got to get charged up. You've to receive the power from the battery. You've to receive the power from the Word of God. No point in having a battery and it not connected. No point in having a Bible and never opening it. When you open it, that's like putting the connections on. Then you receive the power. And you begin to receive from God as you read it.
Well, I've got the power from it.
Oh, faith comes by hearing.
Every page is a cell that contains the power of electricity in the battery. Every page is like a cell in a battery. Ooh, hallelujah. Fully charged.
Always.
Always charged. Waiting to release power. When you connect to it, waiting to release the power of God into your life. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
I'm wired.
A sound.
Yes.
I'm ready for the cat.
Hey.
Has anybody ever read Pilgrim's Progress?
I'm reading it.
Well, well, there were a programme on today, and they were telling you all about it. And I said, oh, I want that book. I want
it's really old-fashioned written.
Yeah. We've got some at work, haven't we?
Hard to read that.
Whitaker's still doing them.
Oh, you know what I said.
They're doing a cheap paperback version.
That's
expensive.
Right.
She gave me a sample, and I've started it, but I've dropped it. I need to go back to it, because when you read it, Ivy, you think, he wrote this in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And what they were going through in the 1800s is absolutely no different to what we face today.
Let
it's as relevant today as it was
It's a bit hard to read, do you mean?
Yeah.
Very old English language.
Let me ask you something. Have you got a tape recorder still?
Yeah, but it's not working.
Tapes.
Oh, do you mean to do tapes?
Not CDs, tapes.
Tapes.
Listen to.
I said tapes.
No.
Cassette.
Oh, I've got a cassette, yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Have we still got them? We've got Pilgrim's Progress, or we did have on cassette.
I think we threw them away.
Did we throw them away?
I think you said we've had these donkey's years. They're out of fashion.
There's
now.
Something in that box. I think there's only Bible.
We'll have a look. You never know.
Well, there were two
might
videos. Whatever they. Oh, were they? Were the videos?
But
or were they?
We'll
have a look.
There some more modern versions.
No, I don't think.
Joe says that I'll go to the library.
I've got a Pilgrim's Progress somewhere, but it's an ancient one.
I have an ancient one.
Mm,
I'll get
it
back.
Find it.
Well, probably they'll be more easy to read if you get a later one then.
This is a recently published one, but it's from the original.
Yeah,
we'll have a look.
I don't know that there's any. You see, what you've got to watch is that if you get this, if there is anything that's been brought into more modern language, then actually loses the impact of what he is saying.
Yeah. Sounded ever so interesting.
It's the road of life of Christianity.
It is,
yeah.
Absolutely.
It's about the temptations and the falls.
Yeah. Where is wife?
Well, what you're best doing is reading if you've got money and understanding it together, aren't you? That's
his wife and his children follow on.
Christina.
Is that what they called it? I must say I've read it, but I can't remember what called it.
Yeah.
Must have been somebody else's consent, I think.
It's all about Christian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christian and his journey.
Yeah.
And how he gets the devil's constantly trying to sidetrack him. There's all these characters who wants to take him into the slough of despond or the bog of unbelief and all sorts of things. He had a good sense of humour. Well, I don't know if he meant to be funny, but it makes me.
These Bible cases with zips, it sounds like they've all been on baked beans. Well, I listen to recording, and it wore that this time.
That's why we say, don't close any of your Bible cases up or run any zips until we've finished, because it just sounds like somebody's actually.
Pretty bad last week.
Not
me.
Must have been.
Praise God.
Well, it's been a good evening.
It has been nice. Yeah.
Been lovely. Great to see every one of you. And you cannot make somebody walk their relationship. They're either in love with Jesus and they're going to walk it, or they're just dating him. There's a difference. Being married to him or just the occasional date. And there are a lot of Christians having dates with Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, they might think might think that they are. It doesn't matter to say that they are, is it?
They ain't married to him.
He might just be there, just watching.
That's another one.
He might be. You can just see him. I can see him looking in this pool of water and watching. See what's happened. Just watch what's happened.
You see, you can't look at sin. If you turn away from him, there's not a thing. You don't look at it, does he?
No.
So
I love the way that he sticks with us.
I do.
And he will stick there.
He'll stay there and he'll be waiting for you to turn round and say, I need you, God, I need you back again.
He is totally committed to you.
I have never ever told God I didn't need him. I've always wanted him. I've never ever said those words. Never ever. No matter what. Where, when, why, how, who, and I never have, so.
And you've been in the slightest bond book, haven't you?
I have found my baptism. We were going to talk about some being baptised again. 2002 I got baptised. Mm. So that's 11 years ago, and I was coming for a while before I got baptised.
Oh, I'd like to be baptised.
We've got
and
to
I was going to think about doing another one, because I wanted to be done again.
And I do as well. I can't
well,
wait for it. I just want it.
Perhaps when we get back.
We'll chuck her in. She thinks she's not going in. Straight over the side.
Yeah.
Not here.
We'll sort you out, don't worry.
I'm not
here.
Do you, Wiley? Straight in.
We can see you.
Well, you're laughing at, you're following
I know.